All right, let's declare God's word. Let's rise to our feet. If you are going to be blessed today, declare a convincing amen.
Amen.
All right, I like the sound of that. One, two, let us go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord will speak to you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And you will have understanding of what He's saying to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats. Today is our sixth meeting in which we have been speaking about the subject of the true service of God. What I want to do today is to explain a particular point about some things that are not, they don't come easily to mind as work for God, which are actually work, that these things constitute working for God. But most Christians don't realize. Now, I'm going to take my text of scriptures today from two portions of the Bible that we all know very well, but we don't often use in this regard. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Last time when I was speaking, I thought that today I would go on to speak about the fact that what people call secular work is actually the work of God for the Christian. But I just, when I was meditating this morning concerning today's meeting, this dropped in my mind, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit, so I want to pick up from this particular one. If you help us actually join to that also. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I want to explain something concerning the reason why God placed us on the earth. And if we know what He wants to do through our lives, it will be responsible on our part, okay, to cooperate with that and not follow our own agenda. There are two sets of messages I will make available to us here. I didn't teach them here. All right? I'm teaching on creation of purpose, okay? One of the things I explained, all right, when I was teaching that series, it's a particular series I did not here. When I was teaching on creation of purpose, one of the things I explained is I looked at the life of Eve. How many of us know the woman called Eve? You know her story, all right? That's the wife that God made for Adam. Now, there's something that you should bear in mind. Was it possible for Eve to have decided that she did not like the garden, she wanted to live elsewhere? That was not possible. Now, humanly speaking, she could do anything. God gave her that liberty to make a choice. That was why she could reject, okay, the commandment, and then she went ahead. She was deceived by the devil. But what I want to bring out is that she wouldn't have had the right to do what she wanted to do with her life. There was nothing like that. Why? Because we know why she was made. If you heard that one day Eve said that, Adam, I don't like this place. You are not an ambitious person. Let's get up and move. Let's go and explore the high mountains. Let us go and do this. If you're not going to move, I'm going to move. You know, you are going to look at her and say, Eve, what is wrong with you? Don't you know why you were made? First thing that comes to your mind is that he was made in the image of God. Adam was made in the image of God. And at a particular point in time, God said, it's not good that this man be alone. Then he made Eve for Adam. So if you are looking at Eve, whatever decision she's making in life, you will realize that Eve must never, for any reason, Eve must never at any point in time pretend as if she has a right to her life beyond that of keeping Adam company, beyond that of helping Adam succeed in the reason why he placed him there in the first place. Are you getting my point? As we call family meeting, Eve and Adam are having problems. So they sit down and Adam says, you ask them, what's going on? Adam says that, well, the other day, Eve said that she was tired of the garden, and for that reason, she wanted to move somewhere else. You know, you will say to Eve, you were made for a reason. He said, but she says that, look, this place is no longer comfortable. You will say to her, it's irrelevant. You were made for a reason. If this is the place where this man is fulfilling God's purpose for his life, God said, it is not good that he's alone. That's why you were made. Now, please, I'm not teaching about marriage now. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So let's not look at it as, okay, I'm talking to women. No, I'm talking about life generally. For example, God said the same thing to Jeremiah. Before you were born, I knew you. I consecrated you to be a prophet. These were things that we did. Your life has a purpose. So whatever Jeremiah did, if he didn't follow that path in life, he would have been behaving like Eve that walked out on Adam. You are getting the point here. That's one thing about living a life of purpose. That's a series. I have a long series of it, all right? Well, I didn't teach it here, but we'll make the CDs available later. Now, why am I talking about this? There's a reason why God created us, and we should be careful to walk according to that reason. We should ask questions. There's nobody that's placed here just arbitrarily. You are right for a reason, and it does not include being comfortable. I want us to understand that point. It does not at all include being comfortable. Comfort is an addition to it. It is not at all right, the purpose. For example, my car should have engine oil. Do you understand? But I'm not going to choose a car based on engine oil. I don't know what I get my point. The engine is just supposed to help the car do its normal work. The primary purpose for that car is transport people who are going somewhere from one point to the other. Let's take another example. Let's take that car again as an example, right? As another example. You show me the car, beautiful. The AC is fantastic. GPS navigation. Autopilot. Self-piloting. Everything, very comfortable. If you're in that car, you won't feel any gallop at all. And that's a very nice car. How much do I pay for it? You say, oh, look at it. Cars, cheap cars in Nigeria, and if they are brand new, they're going for 8 million naira. The lower end ones. This one brand new, I'm giving you for 2.5 million. You say, wow, very nice. So when do I test drive it? Oh, I forgot, it does not move. He said, why can't it move? He said, actually, it requires a special levitational mechanism that's not available in Nigeria. If you like, sell it for 25 naira. I am not going to buy. Why? The reason why a car was made is to transport me from one point to the other. No matter what you pack inside it, no matter how beautiful the car is, if it can't do that, there's no need. Do you get my point? You don't make choices about your life based on how comfortable you will be. Comfort is supposed to assist you to do the will of God. So you first make up your mind concerning God's will, God's purpose. Then all other things can be added to it. Like I say all the time, of course, many of us have business between here and Onitsha, a lot of time, between here and Oka. You are going to Newe. I go to Newe quite often, all right? So you have to drive that road from here to Oka. Before the what we call old road, before it was renewed, we're using the new road that was bad. Do you understand? But we kept on going to Oka. We kept on going to Onitsha. We kept on going to Newe. Why? We had business there. The bad road was an obstacle to overcome. Then one day we found a new road. That is, the old road was renewed. And we all moved to that beautiful road. And we said, oh, very nice. We kept on going where we were going. Then now the road is bad for those of you who use it. But you did not stop going where you are going. You can complain along the road. Say, why is this road like this now? Why did they not repair it? Oh, these trucks, they spoiled it. Overloading of the road. But you keep on going. The road is not a tourist attraction. The purpose of the road is to help you get to where you are going. So no matter what the obstacles are that you meet there, you keep overcoming them. There was a day we were traveling to go and preach on the new road that is very bad. I had like a car backfiring or something. Tow, tow, you know, that kind of thing. I didn't think anything of it. On Sunday, I noticed commotion up front. I just said, Ola Inka, armed robbers. One guy had aimed at our vehicle and fired twice. But of course, I don't know what he was trying to do. That was when I said that the shot I heard a few seconds ago was a man releasing two rounds from a shotgun. As soon as the guy hit the brakes, I turned and I saw the guy right beside me. Now, my father had a gun. So I know some things about shotguns. So I saw him drop his hand like this. So I said, Yinka, he's trying to load. He doesn't have anything inside. So he raised the gun. I said, Bobos, Yinka, turn, let's go. Because, you know, I grew up with a gun in the house, you know. My father, we used to go game hunting and all of that, double barrel. So I know that he only carries two rounds. I could identify the double barrel one. So two hours as he released from both barrels. So when we stopped, he wanted to shakara us with his gun. And I said, I lie, nothing there inside. Because I saw his hand go down into his pouch trying to reload. He needs a few seconds to crack the gun open, toss to him, and close it again. Now, why am I telling this story? We turned. Do you know what? We just went and waited. After a while, we still went back on that same road. Why? I was going to preach somewhere, and they were waiting for me. All this armed robbery is temporary. I'm still going where I'm going. That's why I'm telling the story. We just turned, waited. I think when we had police come or something. Anyway, after a while, we waited for like 30 minutes. Then we felt it was clear enough. We entered the same road and continued to where we're going. Why? We had a place to go. The people were waiting because we could talk on the phone. Look, we're having problems. All right, they will wait. And they waited till we arrived. And I preached to them. And they were blessed. What am I going to say? Comfort doesn't dictate my life. Comfort does not dictate your life. It's purpose that dictates where you go and where you don't go. Yes, sir. You see why I'm saying all of these things? Because there's a reason why God kept us here. There are many reasons, but there's one that is relevant to what we're teaching today. We're talking about the work of God. I said we should open somewhere, right? Yes, have we read it?
Yes,
okay. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to just read this one that we all know. Let me back up briefly. I'm going to verse 9, but let's start from verse 4. It was speaking here. He said, coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. Now let's just go to verse 9. It said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Look at the purpose. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you, verse 10, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, that's what you were, but now you have received mercy. Now please notice that my emphasis in verse 9 says you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, and there is a purpose, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Please bear this in mind, very important. Now, please, let's quickly flip over again to Romans chapter 3. I want to read about 6 verses there. Now, what I've said so far, before we read that, is to emphasize that, listen, there is a purpose for which we exist. There is a reason why God kept us on the earth. And it is crucial, all right, that we bear these things in mind when we are making choices. How do we work for God? What is the true service of God in our lives? I want to look at it from a particular angle today. Let's read it from that verse 21. Paul said this. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Now please, slow down. I want us to read this carefully. He said this was to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he will be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I must admit, reading this is like Peter said, some things are hard to be understood. Let's try and read a simpler translation. Just to pick a verse here. It said, verse 25, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sins. People had made right with God, that's New Living Translation, when they believed that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair. Now, please notice this. When he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, the Bible says, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he will do in this present time. That is the time that you and I are in. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just. And he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. New Living Translation has tried to make it very simple. Let me try my best to make it simpler. All right? Because you and I are looking at each other. We are speaking the same language. Now, this is what happened. The Bible says to us categorically that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It's not possible. So why did God accept the blood of bulls and goats as an atonement for the sins of people? He said it was because he was using that one just to show that the people have faith in the sacrifice that he has prepared. Are you getting my point? So that when Jesus came, all right, the coming of Jesus was to show that God was right and he was not unjust. Otherwise, it was wrong of him not to punish sin. Now, what am I going to say here? So you find that David will do something, he will sacrifice a lamb. But the fact is that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Then why did God forgive him? God said, listen, there's somebody that's going to pay later. That's why I'm not punishing him. People will do things that are wrong. Why won't God punish? Because they offered one sacrifice. He says somebody is coming to pay later. So the coming of Jesus showed to us that God was not lying. God was not unjust. God knew what he was doing. Now, I'm not teaching on the sacrifice of Jesus now. What I'm teaching on is that the Bible said this was for the demonstration of his righteousness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he made it clear to us that we are made to show forth his excellencies. What am I saying here? There's a reason why God placed us on the earth. One of the things he's doing is to demonstrate certain traits about himself. If he says something in scripture, are you getting my point? Is that thing true or is it false? God knows it is true. But the only way he will demonstrate that it is true is through your life and through my life. If you say Jesus died and he nailed our sins and our sicknesses to his cross, God knows it's true. But until people get healed on the earth, nobody else knows it's true apart from God. I don't know whether you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
He said himself took my infirmities and my diseases. He himself took our infirmities and our diseases. And by his stripes, we have been healed. It's a prophetic word. It's in Isaiah chapter 53. Is it true of us? God knows it is true. But God is careful. He likes what he knows to be demonstrated. I hope you're getting what I'm saying here.
Yes, sir.
He can say from now to tomorrow, the only thing that he accepts that his righteousness has been shown to be true is when people start getting healed based on that word. Until that happens, we have left a question concerning the integrity of God Most High. That's why he said, I created you people. He was speaking through Peter there. To show forth my excellencies. I know I'm great. But I want everybody to know it. I don't doubt that I'm great. But I want everybody else to know it. I mean, let me give an example. He wanted to punish the Amorites. He told Abraham, your descendants will live here. They said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now, listen to this. Did he not know it to become full? Why did he not just punish them on one day? It will not be right. That would not demonstrate his righteousness. So he waits until they by themselves pack their iniquities until it is full. Then he wipes them out so that today there's no Amorite in existence. That's how he does things. I hope you're getting my point. If you are around on Tuesday, School of Bible Exegesis, I was talking about centuries past, ages ago, former times, and all of that. And I went line by line. I showed us that there are different levels of human beings on the earth when it comes to blessings and curses. There are different levels. We saw that Cain was cursed. Yes, he was. But now there are no descendants of Cain. They all perished in the flood. After the flood, Noah came out as the only descendant of Seth. And then Noah had four sons. Ham. Let's start with Shem. How many sons? Three sons, sorry. He had three sons. Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Are they all the same level of blessing? No. We know that the most blessed of them, the most blessed was Shem. They're not on the same level of blessing. The next was Japheth. His blessing was tied to Shem. Then we know, well, we don't have time to explain it now, that Ham was cursed. And he said, cursed be Canaan. That's one of his descendants. A servant, the lowliest of servants, a servant of servants he will be. Now, we said that even though he mentioned Canaan, my understanding of the Bible is that it does not tie for him to curse Canaan when Ham sinned. If you know the way it is, he will say the leprosy of Naaman will not depart from the house of Gehazi, from Gehazi and his household. It's always like that. A man sins, it starts with him, and it goes to his descendants. And it does not distinguish which one of the descendants. So why did Moses say, curse be Canaan? It's simple, because he was coming now to take the land that belonged to Canaan. So he was given a narrative to explain what was happening. So he narrowed down his narrative. The truth was that what Noah said was, curse be Ham. My emphasis. Ham had four sons. Cush, Put, Mizraim, and of course, Canaan. All of them were cursed. But again, our gist is not about those people. Our gist is about Jesus Christ. We said all of that, that is in former times. That the Bible tells us in that Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2 that we read, that God has reconciled everything to himself in Christ. Let's say it clearly, like I told you before, there are messages that a white man cannot preach. We will lynch him. Not only am I a black man, I'm a black man. So I can say it. Chooks, we are the ones that can preach it. All these yellow boys can't even preach it. What do we mean? There is a spiritual reason. It's not like they say in Pidgin English, no be ordinary eye. There is a spiritual reason. Why of all the nations of this earth, the black nations are the ones that are down. Have you ever heard before that Nigeria is a rich country? There's so much wealth. We are mismanaging it. Know the truth? We don't know how poor we are. If you want to say that, please speak by faith, not by reality. The other day, we talked about healthcare. My classmates, they were chatting. And I noticed something. One of them posted something. And that the budget for healthcare for England alone, not the whole of the UK, England, for 2016 was £117 billion. England healthcare alone. How much did we budget as a whole country for everything, including... I mean, for everything, including police, armed forces. How much do you budget?
6.6 billion.
Naira. Yes, I want it in dollars. Because £117 billion is about $160 billion. Our total budget, Please, is it up to $40 billion? Everything put together. And somebody said that we're a rich country. They don't know what the call riches. You're so poor, you don't know what the call riches. There was a time President Obasanjo was speaking. Fuel was bad. It was worse then than it is now. That is international price of crude, our major forex earning. And he made a statement which I never forgot. He showed that the budget for 1 year for New York City fire service was the same as that of the whole of Nigeria. All the total government budget for 1 year in Nigeria was the same that year as the same that New York City budgeted for firefight. Didn't include the police. Did not include any other thing. Obasanjo just said, stop saying you are rich. That, you know, people have this, Nigerians have this kind of socialist expectation. They don't know what they call riches. Americans will, look, you know why only God can defend you against American warfare? If America wants to fight you, you have to go and call Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat has to lead with singers because there is nothing. No, let me tell you the truth now. Let's know what's reality. Listen. Some of the things that they dash us, whether they say they dash Nigerian Navy, a boat. You know, it was funny. You know why? It was a boat that their coast guard was retiring. Not their own navy. I don't know where I get my point.
Coast Guard.
Then, 5-star general for Nigeria Navy, go salute to Coletta. Listen, when America wants to build a stealth bomber, one of them is $500 million, one plane. Those days, it's cheaper now. But when they first came out with the Tomahawk missile, each time they fire one Tomahawk missile, it's $1 million. Like you fire a gun, boom, and that bullet is $1 million. You can't fight them. If you use all your GDP to buy equipment, if these guys want to fight you, you need Jehoshaphat to lead the battle. Because nothing else will work. Now, you know why I'm saying all of these things? I want people to understand what they call wealth and what they call poverty. I don't like ignorant people telling me that Nigeria is a rich country and they think they are speaking based on forex earning. That the problem we have is that one day I had a quarrel with one of my senior bosses. Not quarrel, the disagreement. He was talking, he worked a lot in the Middle East. The problem with Nigeria is that we don't know how to manage our money. If you go to Qatar, which is where you should stay a lot, you see the way that you do things. I said, sir, I have to disagree with you. I told him straight. Don't tell me the Saudis know how to manage money. If you say that, you don't know what they call money. The Saudis, I don't know now, then their whole population was like 3 million people. How many were they doing this? Yet, they were producing twice the amount of oil Nigeria was producing. We want 50 million people killed for our own. When you want to talk about country rich, eh? Forget that thing. When people like us talk Nigeria is rich, we are speaking faith. We are not talking who drill oil, who not drill oil. It's faith we are talking. When I say Nigeria is rich, I'm counting you. Are you getting my point? You are the reason why I say Nigeria is rich. And when you have men that have insight, that's what they also look at. That is a country that has a lot of untapped resources. It's not tapped. That's what we mean by rich. We're not talking about earnings. We are talking about untapped resources. We're not talking about any. Because we're talking about any. No, this is a very poor country. England budgets for his healthcare alone more than 4 times what we budget for everything. So let's understand what they call wealth. Let's understand what they call poverty. Now, having established that Nigeria is physically speaking poor, I was talking to one pastor. He was chatting with me from Burundi, Nigerian. So he was there, we're talking. So I said, what's happening? He told me that, okay, they are doing this, they are doing that. So I said, who's paying? Because, I mean, you hear that, I call you one, they say, hey, okay, Mute, sorry, I did for Sudan, they preach. So you just want to know, he said, how did you get there? He said, okay, somebody invited him, some links. So I asked him simply, who's paying? I need to know. We're just chatting, they just know. He said, the church. I said, which church now? Is it the church that invited you? Or your church in Nigeria? Let's make a long story short. He said, the church in Nigeria. I said, okay. He now said, sir, the people are very poor here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. After I told you about poverty, yet we are one of the richest African countries. That's why I'm talking about it. I first described to you where we did. Then let's now go amongst the black guys. We are on top. The largest GDP in Africa. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Let me be honest with you. The only reason why a white man shouldn't discriminate against you is because you believe in Christ. Otherwise, he has every right to do it. Yes, he does. You have invented nothing. Until it came, you didn't have a story building anywhere in the whole continent. Listen, let's tell ourselves the truth. Listen to this. You couldn't even count large numbers. Most of Africa, they will give you pockets, okay, civilization started in Timbuktu. It's Islamic, Allahu Akbar, that's what you're reading. You don't even see the civilization, it's descendants of Japheth that brought it down from the Arabian countries. Listen, the largest single word, at least I know Yoruba language, is for 50,000, okay? They tell you, okay, come. That's the largest word I know in Yoruba language for numbers. Million did not exist. They didn't have anything to count in millions. Every other number is a multiple.
Everything is a multiple. They tell you egberun, which is 1 million, which means 1,000 times 1,000. That's what it is. But Yibo man will count million, give you billion, trillion, even invent words for numbers that are not practically useful. He will tell you zillion. Zillion is a number that has no practical use, but that's how he reasons. He's been looking at stars for a long time. The other day I was reading a particular thing on BBC News, and they're saying that they captured a star before and after it exploded. And the whole scientific world was so excited. They don't capture things like that often. They see the supernova. And I read about it, and I just quickly went to, where did it happen? They said this star is 22,000 light years away. Now, let me tell you what that means. It means that explosion they are capturing happened 22,000 years ago. The light just got to the earth last week. Men are inventing, they are tired of light telescopes. They have X-ray telescopes. Talking about wealth. That's what they call wealth. It's not saying I chop belefu. No. Wealth is that you sit down, you look and say, how far is this star? And you spend 10 years trying to invent a method to calculate the distance. Listen, God is answering our prayers in Nigeria. Otherwise, you'll have known that you are run by fools. Honestly, a lot of our leaders are complete, thorough, embellished idiots. Why do I say that? You know, when you are there, you don't even know what your problem is. You know, now this is the problem we have in Nigeria, Africa generally. We think we are developing. That is by faith. If we're talking reality, you ain't developing nothing. You think you're developing because you are running around a racetrack. Oyinbo man don't go 4 times, so it's in front of you. You think, meanwhile, you don't know he has done 4 laps because it's in front of you. I don't know whether you are getting my point here. So when he said a servant of servants, he will be. That's not a joke. The day we get to heaven, when I find Noah, he has to explain some things to me. Why did you curse a man like that? Why didn't you just say your brother will be greater than you? That one is small thing. My brother drives Bentley. I drive a BMW. There's no problem. He builds a skyscraper of 200 floors. I built one of 70 floors. No wahala. But you now say a servant of servants. But now the man is carrying building to 20 floors. I'm still using rounded huts. That's wickedness. Noah, you did bad. You see where I'm going on, please. That is the situation, my brethren. That's in times past. That's why, let me tell you something about slave trade. It's very wicked. Slave trade is very wicked. What they did to slaves were bad, or was bad. Very wicked. But believe me, it's kinder than what slaves did to themselves at home and the destiny they had back at home. If you look at it, that's a kinder thing. So many died on the voyage. Many were dying at home. Didn't you see the places where slave trade did not get to? You saw they didn't advance at all. You heard that a used copper was the one that discovered people in the Koma village about 20 years ago, 30 years ago in Nigeria. And they were not developed at all. There was no education. They were still killing twins 30 years ago. Why? They happened to live in a mountainous area of Adamawa State. The missionaries overlooked them. The slave traders overlooked them. Without their influence, we saw what a black man would have been by himself. Nothing. He never lived long. He said those people used to live long. It's a lie. At the age of 50, they look like they are 120. So you assume they live long. Listen, the girl was delivering from when she was 14. At the age of 24, she's had 10 children. When you say at 50, she's a great grandmother. So you use your developed mind to calculate her age. You say she's 85. 85 waiting. The girl is 50 years old. Then she dies at 55 looking very old. At 55, her mates are still wearing bikini in America. I'm not saying she should do that, but I'm not trying to explain that. No white man should listen to this message. Don't play this for any white man. But let's paint the picture for the way it really is. There's a reason for it. Like I said, no be ordinary eye. It's a curse. It's a spiritual problem. Miles Monroe spoke once, said the only country on the earth that was run by black people that was developed was the Bahamas. And they had a constitution written with the Bible as a template. That's the power of life that's in Christ. When South Africa was getting their independence from minority white rule, what the whites did was bad. I'm not saying it's good, all right? But I felt sorry for them. I said, you guys, you should have just collected the political independence and allowed these guys to continue ruling. Because shortly after my brethren collected independence, South Africa began to have power blackouts. That's power failure. Why? Because 5 years before, they went and told my brother Thabo Mbeki that this is how we do things here. This is the amount of growth that we expect. So we need to expand power infrastructure, put things in place to catch up with the growth. The man thought like a typical black man. He said, there's no problem. The light is constant. 5 years exactly to the date, he started switching off light. Why? Development that came had outstripped the amount of power that was available. My friend lives in the U.S. Chooks, one day we're talking. He said, after he moved to America, he understood why Nigerians don't have good roads. I said, why? He said, they can't afford it. He said, they can't afford it. He said, when he moved to the U.S., and when he had budget for constructing road, he said, just because he knew he was not in Nigeria where they share money, he was wondering. A road will budget maybe equivalent of $1 million. Those guys will tell you the road is $7 million. He said, until you see the road, you now understand why it's $7 million. The road can't spoil. So he told me, he said, my brother, Nigeria can't afford good roads. The kind of good roads we need, we can't pay for it. He said, so my brother, he told me, don't be angry that you don't have good road at home. Nobody to pay for the road. It's too expensive. Why am I saying all of this? Am I here to discourage you? You know me, I love Nigeria. Why I don't quarrel with people anymore over the last few years, I realized that all my talk has been by faith, and I wanted people who are walking by sight to understand me. So I don't talk anymore. I don't quarrel. But why am I saying all of this? I said the curse of Noah, if you're around on Tuesday, I said all of that was until Christ went to the cross. And after Jesus went to the cross, that curse was broken. Are you getting my point? It was what? Broken. The spiritual reason why a black man was under has been removed. It has been removed as a matter of fact. When my wife and I went to a Cape Coast that time, a few years ago, about 3 years ago, in Ghana, I went to a Cape Coast castle and the Emina castle, and they would take you on tour everywhere. And they showed us the dungeons where slaves were kept. You go in there, pitch black place. They make it quite dramatic. While you are in there, they switch off the light without letting you know they're going to do that. The idea is to create panic in you, then they put it back on. To let you know what slaves endured for 3 months at a go. You are there for a few seconds, you are panicking. So they describe all of those things. But because of my spiritual understanding, I was not moved. I told I don't watch black history films. It brings tears to my eyes. I don't watch it. I don't. But I was there. Some of our guys who came for the conference, they came from the U.S., white people. If I was joking, one of the guys who came, a senior dermatopathologist, I said, let's go look at where your ancestors took away my ancestors from. We're just joking about it. He didn't laugh. The guy didn't find it funny, but all right. He didn't laugh. No, really, I remember the guy didn't laugh. I said, okay, I'm not planning to shoot you in my mind. Don't worry. That's just playing now, you know. This is where I'm going. The guard will now tell you that right above the dungeon was an Anglican church. And he tried to emphasize, look at the hypocrisy of the white man. He's worshiping right on top of the place where he kept fellow human beings as commodities underground. that look at their hypocrisy. And I remember I told my wife, I said, this guy does not know anything. I said, were it not for that church on top, this place will still be open today. I said, that church was necessary to close the dungeon. If that church was not there, the dungeon would have been active for a much longer time. It's not hypocrisy, it's light. That's the way God does things. He wants to close the dungeon, he sips some light into the place. You don't realize, one of the things you have to learn as a believer is how to just talk the word of God into your environment. You're not trying to do anything with it, just talking it. Because in the atmosphere, you are creating spiritual charge. That's why you have to be careful what you say as a person. I said, listen, you don't understand. Just by sitting down there, while slaves were underneath, and they were singing, praise to the Lord, the Almighty God of all creation. I don't know whether I got the words right, but you know. And that hypocrisy that appears like, well, by saying praise to God, declaring praise to God, they were declaring freedom to the slaves underneath without realizing it. And somebody will sing, will come out to read the scriptures. For God so loved the world, a white man, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. My beloved, this morning, we want to thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ that has redeemed mankind. He's freeing the slaves. He's standing above them. He doesn't know. He said, the kingdom of God is like a leaven that a woman puts in dough. Little by little, it's working its way. That is the reason why slave trade ended. If they didn't build those churches above those dungeons, slave trade would have lasted another 200 years. These are realities. Spiritual truth. Listen. Once you set slaves free, you set people who are in bondage free. Okay? You have to tell them they are free. If you don't tell them they are free, they will be in bondage forever. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say here. That is why you and I have been commissioned to go and preach the gospel. Because God, this is how he does things. He will tell people. He looks at Abraham. A father of many nations I have made you. That is it, Abraham, you are settled. Don't come and meet God again. Say, what will you give me? God said, I have settled you now. Say, when? I told you yesterday, a father of many nations I have made you. So when God sees a slave, he says, you are free. The slave shouldn't say, what do you mean by that? He should just say, amen. And start watching it as the freedom of God starts working itself into his life. But he has to be careful not to send himself back into slavery. Because when God sets you free, Satan will say, where are you going? You have to put your foot down and say, I am free. I'm going. He will stay there and say, do you know what's waiting for you out there? Say, it doesn't matter. I am free. I'm going. When you get out there, who's going to take care of you? The God that set me free will take care of me. Say, listen, just come back. Don't worry. I will loosen the bond small. I'm not going to tie the chain too hard again. For that, I will give you food. I'll give you raiment. I'll give you a comfortable car. You live in a country that has good roads. There will be no problem. Just a little bit of slavery. Just manage it. It takes spiritual discipline for you to say, no, I am free. I'd rather die hungry, a free man, than stay with you in bondage. Why? Am I proud? No. That's my message for today. I'm not proud. But I have to be a demonstration of his righteousness. Do you get what I'm saying here? The righteousness of God must be demonstrated. When God wants to demonstrate that the curse of Noah has been broken, when he wants to demonstrate that indeed Jesus died so that a country will not be budgeting for everything he has, for 170 million people, what a country of 40 million people budgets only for healthcare. And he budgeted a quarter of that, and he calls himself the richest amongst his brethren. He said, if that is going to come to an end, it's because Jesus died. Jesus will die. Now, Jesus has died. I want you to go home and go and tell your people you are no longer poor. I hope you are getting my point here. Read this particular scripture to help me explain something. You see what I'm trying to say? I'm sure you are catching up with me already. Deuteronomy chapter 2. What am I saying? Jesus has died. Somebody say amen, please.
Amen.
He has shed his blood already.
Amen.
He has risen from the dead as a sign that freedom has been purchased.
Amen.
For that reason, the curse of Noah has been broken.
Amen.
You, me, every African, whoever it is anywhere in the world, be it the Dalits in India, or whoever it is, this is the word of God. The spiritual reason why they're in bondage has been removed in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It means, therefore, every one of them can be productive. They can create wealth.
Amen.
Listen, the reason why, okay, the dollar is so expensive compared to the naira, both of them are pieces of paper printed for the same amount of money. I hope you get my point. Yes. Then why is one 400 of the other? I'll tell you. It is simply because the man who created this one that you call dollar, when he starts to speak, he starts throwing things in your face. Microsoft, Google, your computers, your internet, your power generation. He starts throwing things in your face that he has created for you. The other one that holds the other one that you called naira, he wants to speak against the dollar. He has nothing to say more than we produce 1 million barrels of crude oil a day. And America will tell him that that's not even enough for me to use as a reserve in case of emergency. That's why your money has to be worth 1/400 of mine. Not because I'm greedy, but because, okay, let's survive without each other. Let's see who will live longer. You have no cars. You have no internet. Many of you wouldn't even have shirts to wear. What will you have? He gathers with his brothers, the Europeans, and say, okay, let's not export anything. Let's not exchange anything for a period of time. We'll buy your oil only because it's cheaper for us right now than other things. But if you shut down the oil, you will now realize that we actually have more oil than you have. The largest oil reserve in the world is the tar sands of Canada. But we don't like to mine it. It's too expensive for us to mine. We find it cheaper to collect from you. After all, there was a time we exchanged a whole land for you for pieces of cloth. It's not our fault. Go and talk to Noah if you have a problem with that. What am I trying to say? So that when this thing will be switched, it is not by fighting and quarreling. It's produce something and not need from that man. I don't know whether I get my point. Your currency speaks of your ability to produce. Produce. Why do you think India has many people in the top level of the richest men in the world counting the US dollars? Because a man one day, Mahatma Gandhi, said simply, if India will not produce it, it will not use it. To show everybody that he was serious, he stripped his clothes and wore a loincloth alone the rest of his life. He wore a loincloth and a pair of sandals. All he had was glasses, that white cloth around his waist, and a pair of sandals. To tell everybody that if you can't make it, you don't need it. He forced them to produce. That's the reason why their currency can talk. If your currency is not producing, it can't talk. If nothing drastic is done, in 5 years' time, naira will be exchanging for $850. $1 will be exchanging for 850 naira. And in 20 years' time, it will go for 1,000. 1,005. If we continue like this. Listen, what I'm going to explain is this. We're talking about the spirit of poverty. Eh? Only the redeemed in Christ has the real power to break it. And these are people that will not love their lives even unto death. First, they must hate slavery. They won't say because a small road is bad, let me run to where road is good. That is the Issachar principle. You always end up like that as a slave at forced labor. You will think you are enjoying it. What am I teaching? Let me close on time. Because of all our challenges. Let me just do that. I'll come back to it. What I'm teaching is this. God redeemed. See. Listen. Years ago, if people like this sat down in most parts of the world, they would have been the congregation of slaves. But God said, not anymore. How? Through Christ. He now said, I want people who will demonstrate that point. Are you getting my point here? It is the work of God to get up and say, this life, I must demonstrate that Jesus died and rose again. The work of God is not just to go to church. No, you go to church and worship. You go to church and tap the spiritual energy. Then you go out and say, in this life, no, we have to explain that we're not slaves anymore. I have that power. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, the power to produce, to release it is a responsibility that the believers have, especially in a country like this today. You know, they said Naira is going for 410, or dollar is going for 410 Naira. I said, if you were a dollar, wouldn't you go for 600 Naira? If the economy turns around today, the idea of an average person, which he uses to brag that he has prospered, is that he has gone abroad to spend money. That's how they brag. When you know, my children are in Canada, some of these don't, we talk. You have that amount of money. We generally don't have the concept that why don't we bring Canada to Nigeria? Listen, it's a slave mentality. He takes pride in things that have no value. I was telling my wife the other day, you know, there's a joke they make. They say, if you say nothing lasts forever, you never see a house perfume. You heard that one before? You heard the joke? And we make a joke about it. If I say that's near the ears of Chanel, you say, are you serious? Your perfumes last forever? He will come collect it, package it, and bring it back, 50,000 naira a bottle. And these muguns will queue up to buy it. When he hasn't done that, we joke about it. Instead of making a matter of joke, shouldn't it be something for us to say, why is it that his perfume lasts forever? Because when I was a little boy, there was one perfume that they called opium. And what we knew about opium was that you put a drop on your dress, a week later, it's still smelling from it. The aroma is still coming out. When it's a local one, we laugh about it. Slave mentality. Prosper my brethren a little bit. Every little money they have, they've disappeared to strange parts of the world. What are you doing? We just want to see places. You know the truth? Physical slavery never ended. Oh, it never did. Listen. Before, the white man came, collected people, bound them on ships and took them over there. Then when they say, no, we won't take that anymore. They say, no problem. I will wait here and you will donate yourself to me. Just watch. And the pride in the heart of every young girl. He said, I had my baby in America. Just donated another one. White man said, wait, don't worry. More! There was a day I watched what Canadians and the UK people gave as parameters to give you a free immigrant visa. God have mercy on me, what I'm about to say. I said to the UK government, may God punish you. That's what I said that day. Because I saw wickedness. They said, we'll give you a free immigrant visa if you have a PhD or the equivalent. If you're already earning, let me use today's Naira, and I don't remember that then, okay? But it's something like, if you are earning about 6 to 10 million naira a year, a salary. They show the number of things and say, if you are like this category and you want to come to the UK, you qualify for what they call a highly qualified immigrant visa. And guess what? My brethren queued up and collected it, thereby draining the cream de la cream. The best people, the brightest minds, the people that had the power. The white man standing there said, don't worry, they will come as slaves. It's called the Issachar principle. He said Issachar is like a strong donkey lying down between the sheepfolds. When he saw that the resting place was pleasant and that the land was green, he said he bent his back to bear the burden and he became a slave at first labor. The white man said, don't worry, they are coming. He said, what independence? Oh, white man said, no problem, take your independence. Then we'll sit here in Switzerland, just watch. Then we use our hands, package our monies, put them in sacks, and went to Switzerland and said, please, keep it for me. And then the man will go down home and die suddenly. His wife doesn't know the money is there. The Swiss man said, don't worry, it's not my fault, though. I just happen to be a descendant of Shem. As for you, Hamites, don't worry. You will serve me till you die, unless Jesus delivers you and you recognize that you're no longer a slave. I'm talking about God's work. It's not to go to church. The work of God is to take this truth out there and go and demonstrate it. Listen, there are times you stand and say, listen, I'm not doing. You say, why? I say, because I'm free. I told you those days. When my salary in physical terms, that's Naira 10, 6,000 Naira a month, things were not much different. People say it had more value that time. I always like to tell them the real value. Let's use dollar. It was $70. My salary residency, my salary was $70 a month. Post NYC, bachelor's of medicine, bachelor's of surgery. Working for the federal government as a resident doctor, I earned $70 a month. Middle of the month, I was flat broke. Flat broke. The only worldly possession I had was a Philips pressing iron, Comfort 2010. That was the design. Nothing more than my clothes and one or two pairs of shoes that I could call. If you talk about value, the most valuable thing I had was my pressing iron. I am not joking about that. So you don't blame my chief. He's a consultant pathologist now in the Imo State. He said, hey, Banky, I spent half of my salary buying postage stamps. Why postage stamps? Because there was no internet, no emails. To apply to places all over the world, he was posting letters every day. I got to Lagos around that time, and I used to hang out with my cousin. So we'll drive to the embassy area and I'll see what Nigerians would do to go abroad. You want to go for visa interview, you queue from 2 a.m. I said, I'm a free man. I won't do this. But you don't have money, doesn't matter. I'm a free man. I won't do this. If somebody wants to preach, will I do this? What will I do for an American visa? I said, I won't do it. I was not watching them like this. I'm saying this to let you know, I didn't have anything. We doctors were crucially, excruciatingly poorly paid. My friend, bosom friend from childhood, studied banking and finance, 4 years, finished very early, brilliant chap. By the time I was finishing NYC, he had a car. People were wearing shoes that it took me 10 months to earn the price. And I handled the shoes. So they said I should give this one to manager when he comes. One day I put my foot inside just to check whether it will fly. So I'm not saying that. Look, that time, I'm not lying to you. Girls didn't marry the doctor, so they didn't. What is it? It's a doctor. You're all his. No, they've seen your type. When we're in school, my senior colleagues will come. Their children are sick. They can't pay for X-ray. Consultant otolaryngologist. He drove a breaking down beetle. Our students were looking at him like this with fear. This was our big chief. His beetle was old. He couldn't change it. Everybody disappeared to Saudi Arabia. Thank God for Liko Ransom Kuti. He went to Babangida and said, all the doctors in your country, they finished. That's why you to hear a brain drain. In the midst of it, I said, I'm not going anywhere. Why? I'm a free man. I said, I'm a free man. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I said, if this is what it takes, why? Because of money. The reason I said to God that time, I said, dear Lord, please have mercy on me. This poverty, there's no problem with it though. Just don't give me a wife. But if it is poverty, I will enjoy it and serve you in the center of it. But let me do it alone. But I said, I'm free. God is my witness. I swore. I am free. I will not do this to go to anybody's country. There is a life of Christ that's working in me. I am not beneath. I am above. I was in Lagos. I just shake my head. One day I read the scripture. It said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I held on to that scripture tightly. I told everybody, it's commanded, I don't run for money. I don't go anywhere looking for money. I said, it's commanded. What am I saying all of these things? Listen to me. I said, we should open the scripture, don't bother because of time. God said to them, that's Jeremiah chapter 2. He said, I've given you the land of Sihon. He said, now, begin to contend with him in battle. Begin to possess the land. I have given it to you, does not mean to fall into your hands freely. Listen. Let me say something to you again. Poverty, that spiritual reason why you should be poor, has been broken.
Amen.
That spiritual reason why you should be a slave has been broken.
Amen.
What is working for God? You say, hey, Emeka, Uche, Philip, get up. Let's go out and demonstrate that you are free. That if you don't live like that, then how do I show to people that Jesus actually died and rose again from the dead? If you are still running up and down looking for where there is security, how do I show to people that Jesus actually died and rose again from the dead? There has to be a demonstration of what I did in Christ. Listen, going to church is not the work of God. Leave it for those who are called to be preachers like me. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I tell God, I like to teach, but I don't like the job. I'm not angry with him. But there are times, there are things I want to do. And I see God say, no, you can't. One day, brother was asking me, what do you think about writing a will? I said, I don't know. I'm not planning to write one. I said, the reason is simple. He said, is it faith? I said, no, listen, I said for a man who's walking by faith, everything is faith. I said, I don't have money. I don't have any money stored up anywhere. So there's nothing to will to anybody. This is where I'm going. I said, he knows me well. I said, my brother, I don't have a house anywhere. The only one I have is the one I'm building currently. It's in Enugu here. I said, I'm not sure I'm going to build a second one. I said, you say I don't have money. And I said, and I don't think I will ever have. I said, I don't think I will ever have. I said, there's nothing I'm going to have. I said, if I have houses in this life, maximum two. What am I doing with it? I'm not quarreling, though. He said, okay, is it faith or that you don't have? I said, for a man of faith, it's the same thing. I said, my wife is my next of kin. Everybody knows that. My mother knows that. The people in the bank, they know that. Every former field, next of kin. I said, I have not the will to anybody. Why I tell the story, I said, I'm not rich. I don't think I'll ever be rich. Are you speaking unbelief? No. I said, it's not my job to have money. It's my job to teach. I don't envy Dangote for any reason. His job is different from mine. I count success in ministry when I see your faces. It's when I see you succeed that I know ministry is working. You've heard me say that I believe. He said, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. It's a flow. I use what I'm supposed to be to use. But my mother, people don't talk that. And really, Enugu is the fourth most expensive place on this earth to buy land. In the Nigeria, I mean. Yeah, Abuja, Port Harcourt, Lagos. Next is Enugu. If you go to Akure, my state capital, in Enugu, GRA, 500 square meters, 25, we'll start talking. That's 500 square meters. If you go near 1,000 square meters, just make sure that either God bless you specially or you stole specially. So it makes sense. Say, go to your home. Listen. What we used to buy land in that corner, in Enugu, to buy in GRA Enugu in Akure, and complete a state-of-the-art bungalow. I'm not exaggerating. So natural thing, people say, okay, you're selling land there, come and build. I say, for what now? My sister said, the governor is selling land, house. I say, you think it's an acquisition, I think it's a headache. I say, it's not property, it's a headache. Where a man's treasure is, his anointing to teach the word has gone there. All myself of this. That is the thing. Listen, this job is not a money-making job. Paul said, as poor, yet making many rich. That is the job. If you are looking for money, please don't become a preacher. You will steal. You will lie. You will enjoy your life. Oh, my brother who I was chatting with from Bujumbura, he said church paid. They showed me his 5-star hotel. I thought it was real 5-star until I said, what is that? Was that not a television? I saw one cube of sugar that they call television. I told him, teach those people, because I knew I was going to go on. Those guys are very funny. These are other African brethren. They'll be looking at him the way Nigerians look at Americans. I said, let them know from the beginning. Don't be like that too. You came here to teach them. They shouldn't just look at you. Don't listen. That's his real mission. I told you, this is not a mission. Yeah, not a mission. He said, anybody that wants to follow him can come, but they buy their own ticket too. He told me, he said, anybody from the church can come with him once they have money for tickets. He's not on holiday. He's doing mission. So, as a preacher, I'm going to have all such things. If necessary to fly around, I will have a private jet. Oh, yes, most certainly. So when I talk about that, I won't be rich. Don't get me. Go and read my book, Grace to Prosper. There's what they call vow of poverty. There's a vow of prosperity. Why am I saying all of these things? However, all of us Christians, we have a responsibility to demonstrate that Jesus died for us and thereby liberated us from the curse that Noah placed upon Ham and his descendants. And they were not slaves anymore. What does that mean? We can create wealth. We can get healed. Sickness will not hold us in bondage. If it's coming, we'll shake our heads and say, no, not here. Why? Jesus died. Anything that is written, that's a promise of God, the only way God can prove he did not lie is through you. You hear what I said?
Yes.
The only way he can prove that he did not lie is if you get up and say, Lord, this is what you said. Let's go out and demonstrate it. Let me end here. Listen, your life is an assignment to demonstrate the righteousness of God. I'll continue from that point. Let's rise to our feet. Say, Lord, thank you. Let's just worship him. That is the work of God, though. That's what I'm talking about, true service of God. We are supposed to go out and demonstrate his righteousness. We are supposed to go out and demonstrate his righteousness. Each person has an area. We'll talk about that next time. Some of them go and start manufacturing. Let the white man know that something good can come out of this place. Let them know that something good can come out from this place. That's a work for God. Raise your hands and talk to him. Say, Lord, thank you for freedom. Listen, there's no ancestral curse that's keeping you down. You just need to get up and rise and fight Sihon. And clean out the Amorites. Say, every disease in my life is broken. Why? How else will I demonstrate that Jesus died? It's not what I wrote read in a book.
Yes, sir. Yes,
not what I read in a book. It's what is working in my life. Jesus said, you read the scripture, you say the scripture, thinking that you find eternal life. He said, but you won't come to me. He said, meanwhile, that scripture testifies of me. What is he trying to say? The scriptures testifies. The life is in us. We are the real manifestations. So I am the living word of God. Are you getting my point here? People can read the one on paper, but if they want to see it really, they come to me. Yes. And they look at my life. Yes. Say, this guy, he's proof that Jesus died. Please dedicate yourself to it again. Say, Lord, that's what I want to live for. That's purpose. That's purpose. The midst of adversity, you know, I'll face that direction. Jesus, he died.
Legacy.
Let us give him thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Father, we thank you. Thank you that Jesus died. Thank you that the death was not like his life had ended. It was a sacrifice. The shedding of blood to wipe out everything Noah said against us. Everything the devil said against us. Everything life said against us. Everything has been wiped away. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, once again, we receive the grace to demonstrate it for everybody to see.
Amen.
That grace is ours in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That grace is ours in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everyone listening to me this evening, Lord, the grace to manifest that deliverance is theirs in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The manifestation of grace will begin to show in a greater measure in that fellow's life from today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every sickness is dead.
Amen.
Every affliction is gone.
Amen.
Freedom has come.
Amen.
Healing from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Poverty is dead.
Amen.
Listen, poverty is not like I don't have money. Poverty is I don't create anything.
Yes.
I don't impact anybody. Many of our Nigerian politicians, God looks at them and says, this guy is so poor, I will strip him naked, give all his money he has stolen to people who are creating something. Hey, that's a prophetic word.
Amen.
Many of these we are looking at today, billions in accounts, millions of dollars hidden in Ghana mosques and GP tanks. Listen, this is not a curse. This is the word of God. Many will die poor in prison.
Amen.
But not one naira of that money will be missing.
Amen.
Where will it be? It will have gone into the hands of those who are creating something.
Amen.
If you want, people talk about wealth transfer. You have to be a creator for God to transfer anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exchanging one thief for another thief.
Yeah.
I hope you are getting my point.
Yes.
You listening to me, you are a creator.
Amen.
You will give value to any currency you hold.
Amen.
Because the currency is speaking the value of your power to create.
Amen.
You are a creature of value.
Amen.
And you are a creator of value.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is your season of fruitfulness.
Amen.
This is your season of multiplication.
Amen.
Listen, you will not only live in houses you did not build, you will build many more houses.
Amen.
You will bring forth technology to make construction cheap.
Amen.
That's what wealth is. Wealth is that you will listen, these hospitals that they are running to go to in India, you will plant one in every major city of Nigeria.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You wanted to study medicine those days, you didn't pass well in JAMB. But let me tell you, doctors will work for you.
Amen.
The consultants amongst them, you will sign their salary checks.
Amen.
The professors will do sabbatical in your institution.
Amen.
Why? It's the power of Christ. It's called the glory of God. It will radiate from your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks.
Thank you,
in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord is good. There's a way we share the grace, not the usual way you are used to it. We have this prophetic way of doing it. We share prophetically. We declare the victory that we have in Christ Jesus when we are doing it. Let's go. One, two, go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings.
All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Please bless somebody on your left or your right.
This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.
Bless another person.
This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.
All right. Share our brethren.
Your